The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. Apparently, the guy who decided to take yesterday off has a problem with the way we talked about the Packers yesterday.
Well,
that's all I see. That's all we have. So we have a Google Sheet. We have a Google Doc where we share, you know, Josh will put a lot of the things that we text to each other in there. It just kind of organizes all the thoughts. And he didn't send this in the group text, but the first thing that I see at the top of my page is I have some thoughts on yesterday's show reaction to the win. Now, I'm guessing, again, there's no positive or negative connotation to that sentence, Chew. But I think we're only going to see that if Josh has a problem with the way we talked about the Packers yesterday.
Well, he's a toad, number one. If you know code in the text chain, he's clearly a toad, which is fine. But it's week two. I'm not going to toad out. All right. Does Dallas stink? Are they going to not making the playoffs now? Is Detroit stink? They're not making the playoffs now? This is a different NFL. Right? Oh. Don't get too high. Don't get too low.
Joshua, what's your problem?
I thought what we and everybody in the ESPN Milwaukee audience and on YouTube experienced was a couple people trying to cover their butt on something they got way wrong. Now, I picked also the Packers to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought I witnessed not enough complimentary or listened to talk of how well Malik Willis, when asked to throw, threw the ball. I think
again, the key to that sentence is when asked to throw.
Correct. Yes. I also think there was some Matt LaFleur praise in there. Probably not enough because he had that.
What else do you want me to say, man? Like, what else?
Genius.
What do you, I mean?
Savant.
Let me pull
Albert
up.
Albert Einstein.
What are you going to do when they lose this week?
That also, I've got you over here. It was like 6 minutes into the show, and you're like, well, they're going to, what about next week? They're going to lose, right? And it's like, we haven't even gotten over the win, the incredible win that they just had.
You know when I'll gush, Joshy? You know when I'll gush? Do you know when that is, when I'll gush?
When?
When do you think?
Of when they win a Super Bowl?
Thank you. Then I'll gush, okay? I'm holding on to my gush.
I called what Matt LaFleur did special. Like I don't know what else you want from me in terms of the praise of Matt LaFleur.
I also think there wasn't nearly enough praise for what Jeff Hafley pulled off as well. That he gave Anthony Richardson all the things he was bad at, and Anthony Richardson failed.
All right, here we go.
I think the concerns about the pass rush when they're in a mush rush for 2 weeks is like, can we let them at least try and get after the quarterback before we pretend there's issues?
Here we go. Let's just take a look where Indianapolis is in the power rankings, okay?
We'll be doing power rankings next hour.
Scrolling. They beat the 28th team in the NFL.
Yeah, so do you think they're going to be the 28th team at the end of the season?
They will be in the 20s.
I promise you they won't.
Where do you think they're going to be?
They're a mid-level football team. They are.
Which is 20, which is in the top end of.
That's not how.
Mid-level would be. Yeah, I mean.
If 16 would be middle.
If the 14 teams that make the playoffs are the top.
They are
16 to 22 would be middle.
Think they're not going to be in the fight for a wild card spot in
no.
the AFC?
You know why? Because Buckner, their D lineman, he's out for a while.
Yeah,
they lost Latute to Tute, right?
To Leatu.
Yes,
Leatu Latu. Sorry.
So they gave up 260 yards rushing with their best defensive lineman now out for probably 8 weeks. And you think they're going to get better? Richardson is a guy.
Come on.
He's a guy.
He is a young quarterback who has played 4 NFL games to completion to this point.
Yes, he's going to
have
the next step.
He's going
to
have ups and downs.
He's not going to be a Pro Bowl player. I couldn't name you one receiver before the game for the Colts.
Michael Pittman, Donnie Mitchell.
No idea who that is.
That's their rookie from Texas.
Yeah, he stinks.
I mean, he doesn't stink. Nice he's just catch. A rookie. He's just a rookie.
Yeah. I get it. You don't think they'll be 20?
That's what I'm confused about is you pick we pick and choose what to react to and overreact to. So now the 0-2 team is done. Denzel, get him out of here.
Statistically, Josh, that is correct because the 0-2 teams, 11.5% of the time since 1990, 0-2 teams make the playoffs.
Okay, and are the Vikings going to be NFC champions?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not. And you know who else is going
to
make the playoffs?
What don't we
You know who else is going
to
make the playoffs? Because Dan Orlovsky said this team is now very average. The Dallas Cowboys.
Got to do with it.
The guru. This is what we do in sports, right? One week they're great, the next week they stink.
But this is what we talked about yesterday. Like the only I know two things in the NFL right now. Two. That is it. I know the Chiefs are good, and I know the Panthers stink.
And don't sleep on Atlanta. Where are you putting in Atlanta now, Joshy? Let me ask you this.
Time out.
Does Atlanta deserve to be higher in the power rankings than the Packers?
No. God, no.
Why not?
So they beat Philadelphia at home. Where
they beat
Packers
Philly on the road.
Lost on a neutral field to Philly.
The Packers won without their starting quarterback.
Yes.
They had a guy with 19
and they should get credit
19
for that.
Days in Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying.
Won.
This thing is going to change come week 15. You know?
Yeah, I think we're all acknowledging that.
Am I a fan? I don't even know if I'm a fan.
You're a fan of football. You like the game.
Yes.
I think.
But I'm not an overreactor.
Not when it comes to football.
No, not when it comes to life, I might overreact.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like football, you keep it easy. Like football, you say you can't get high, you can't get too low. In the game of life, you definitely ride the roller coaster.
I'm not even willing to grant him football. He won't overreact to the Packers. Either way, positively or negatively. That seems to be the only thing I know for sure you won't overreact
to. You know what? I maybe go a little more negative just because you have to understand, as players, you're conditioned. When you watch film, all you watch is the negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm sitting there with Andy Reid and have a 28-yard nice catch and go, he watches it one time. Gone.
Well,
okay.
Because there's nothing to teach.
Yes. Exactly.
There's nothing to go over.
So let me ask you this, Josh. Fair question. And I have not looked at the power rankings one iota.
Except for the Colts when you just told me.
Yes. But I didn't look at the top 10. Does New Orleans, does Tampa Bay, and does Minnesota deserve to be ranked higher than the Packers?
I think in a weekly power rankings.
That's what I'm
saying.
Of course,
they have more wins. Like, yeah. But like when it comes to week 15, and if the name them, the Buccaneers have one more win. Like, I don't think the Buccaneers are a better football team than the Packers.
I don't either.
Well, but here's the thing.
But they got an impressive.
Well, okay. Hear me out when it comes to Tampa Bay. They had the same record and made it as far as the Packers did last year. Like, they don't get credit for that. I will say that.
Yeah, I think they're fine.
I do not think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I am as guilty of this as any, have gotten enough credit for what they did last year. And the start that they've gotten off to this year.
Because everyone wants to bum rap Baker. Baker is not horrible. Baker is better than an average quarterback.
I'll buy that, yeah.
Yes. And people don't want to give him credit.
Some people do, some people don't.
I think it's more the don't. I'll give you another
team,
Josh.
You're the
one
who picked the Falcons.
And they had a big win last night.
I mean, there was a 1% chance of them winning that game until Nick Sirianni puked the game up to them. Like, that was football happening. That was the ups and downs. Do you think the Falcons are going to finish the season with a better record than the Eagles?
Yeah, but Joshy, you being the resident toad, if the Packers somehow beat Philadelphia in Sao Paulo and didn't deserve to win the game, you'd be Gush City.
I mean, I was pretty Gush City even after the win.
Yeah. Like, I'll give you another team, Josh. Seattle, do they deserve to be ranked higher?
Sure.
They're 2-0.
Sure.
They haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, maybe. I don't think they're a better team who has a better chance of winning playoff games.
I agree. But we know in this league, obviously, from this past weekend, the better team doesn't always win.
Yeah, but that's part of the allure of the NFL Sunday, right? That's
like,
part of
the allure. There's one team I just am so intrigued by right now. One team.
Okay, one team that Chewy is intrigued by. Okay, so it's not Buffalo because he hates Buffalo. I mean, Baltimore's 0-2. Is he intrigued by Baltimore? Houston's off to a good start. He's not intrigued by Jacksonville. They're 0-2. The Cowboys, Eagles. Is it Minnesota? Are you intrigued by Minnesota?
You're close, but no.
Is it the Lions?
See, this is my point. This is my point. It's my point.
What, that we can't read your mind?
Yes. it's staring right at you. It's like a big zit on your butt.
The Bears?
You feel it, but you got to look in the mirror to see what it is.
You're intrigued by the Bears?
You think it's a tick? It's not a tick.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
We're talking about some things that have happened to Chewy's behind. That's what we're doing.
The New Orleans Saints. Don't tell me they're not good. Don't tell me they're not good. You don't score in the 40s 2 weeks in a row and the second time on the road against a very good team and win.
So when it comes to New Orleans.
Yes.
And I can't remember what we were doing I think it was maybe a power rankings when I did the Chewy. It was a top eight when I did the top eight offenses, you know, doing the Chewy way where you take the average, you know, whatever your rank in yards is, whatever your rank in points is, you add them together, divide it by two, and that's your rank. The Saints were a top 10 offense last year.
I know.
Which was shocking
to me. Everyone was shocked.
Which was shocking to me because, I mean, they were just so, like, they were just there. They weren't good. They weren't bad. They just kind of existed in the NFL last year. And maybe they got something going on down there. I don't know. But I understand why you would be intrigued by the New Orleans Saints.
I don't get it.
Because at the beginning of the year, I thought that they could not wait to move on from Derek Carr.
Yes. Is that all it takes? Is for what we think is a crappy quarterback to play like an A-level quarterback?
I mean, just any quarterback playing like an A-level quarterback. That's typically all it takes, yes.
I mean, Sam Darnold playing that well?
He is right now. Will he be playing that way by week 8? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I've never seen him play this well two games in a row.
That's the thing. Kyle Shanahan gave up on him, and then he turns around and beats Kyle Shanahan this weekend. Like, Kyle Shanahan has turned how many quarterbacks into...
Solid player.
The main thing that interests me is I don't think anyone here should be overreacting to a single outcome, but we should be reacting to that outcome we saw in the context of a week-by-week league.
But you want us to overreact to the Packers-Colts game?
No, I think
he wanted us to give more praise to Malik Willis.
For what? He drove 28 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour lane.
That's
what he did.
By the way, Chew, everybody I told that analogy to yesterday, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Okay.
There was two main things. It was Malik Willis and Jeff Hafley. I think they both outperformed the reaction that was given to them on this show.
Time out. Josh, pump the brakes on Jeff Hafley. They had one sack. Right?
They aren't trying to get after the quarterback. They told you that after week one, and they're going to tell you the same thing after this one.
And they gave up 7.8 yards per rush.
Do you think maybe they were playing too high because they were concerned about a guy who could throw the ball 60 yards in the air on a dot? Because there was an awful lot of the linebackers literally 30 yards in the backfield.
Hey, Gabe, look at me. Someone's overreacting here big time.
Yeah, I understand.
Huh?
And we'll get into more of Josh's online adventures later in the show as well, because he is just Woody Woodpeckering and, you know, instigating all over the internet the last couple of days. We let him off the leash. He's not at work.
I know.
He just goes wild.
About the Bears?
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll get to that.
All right. Okay.
We'll get to that.
Because I was going to put something on the text chain, but it was a little gross.
Okay. So you're going to say it on the radio.
Yeah. Good.
Even better.
I got the dump button ready.
I mean, what I'm saying, Joshy, is when you've given up, when this is supposed to be a new improved Packers defense, and you've given up 142 yards per game through two games on the ground, it's not a new and improved Packers defense.
And my point is, maybe they weren't all that interested in stopping the run.
I know, because guess who else wasn't interested in stopping the run?
Speaking of which, how's he doing in Miami against the run? The run game defender?
He's the coach and run game.
He is the run game coordinator, and they are holding teams to 118 yards per game.
Better than Halfley.
My point about that game plan was very clear. Give Anthony Richardson the short and intermediate because he's inaccurate and incapable of completing those. Don't get beat deep. And then the run game was an afterthought because if we control the 40 to 20 time of possession.
What is he doing here?
They aren't going to be able to beat us running the ball.
He's doing the thing that he claims he doesn't do.
Yeah, I know exactly.
That is not.
Yes, you are.
I'm reacting to the actual result.
Yeah, okay, but you also said that if you were reacting the result, you would have been more upset after the game in Sao Paulo, because they lost that game.
And I thought there was a lot of good things to take away from it. Was a loss.
So in a win, you can't take away negative things in a win?
I took away negative things.
Yeah, I haven't heard one. We talked about them last week. No, what do you mean?
It was the sloppiest game I'd ever seen
No. So you took the positives away from the win, from the loss. I haven't heard you say a single negative thing about the win. So I'm doing the inverse thing.
You want me to be negative about a game that nobody gave them a chance to win?
You know what, Josh? You know what concerns me the most 2 weeks into this? 2 weeks into this season? What concerns me the most? There's a lot more teams in the NFC that are good than I thought right now.
I think at this moment, sure, we're two games in. I don't know how to take that. Like, I don't know what to do with that information because we saw how many quarterback injuries last year. We saw like a record amount of starters. And let me tell you, the good players, a lot of them are missing a lot of time here. The Rams, I thought were going to be pretty good. See ya. Without Puka and Cup?
No Cup.
Yeah.
They've got guys I've never even heard of, and I've drafted more fantasy teams than anyone I know. Like, playing wide receiver for them. Good luck.
What's the Guinness World Record for number of fantasy drafts? Do you think that next year you could flirt with it?
No, there's people doing like 2,500.
What?
There's people investing hundreds of thousands of dollars every year.
Never mind, I'm not even
in the ballpark.
Okay, never mind then. We'll get to Jason Wilde. He's going to give us the latest on the Green Bay Packers. That is coming up next on a Dude Tuesday. But let me tell you about my friends at the Wisconsin Country Club. That's where I joined about a year ago. I decided I wanted a better golf experience, and I have been happy with my decision at the Wisconsin Country Club. Not only because there's no assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums. I love going out there. The practice facility is great, but even better, the golf course. Fantastic. Always in great shape. Anybody I take out there just sings the praises of the golf course. But maybe you're somebody, yes, you enjoy the golf, but you're also looking for something for the family. Don't worry. Pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun days at the pool during the summer. You don't want to miss it. Find out more and join me out at the Wisconsin Country Club at thewisconsincountryclub.com.
Ready? Hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
So if the 28 miles an hour in a 25 zone was really good, what does it make a zit on your butt staring you in the face? Not as good?
that would be correct.
Okay.
Are you driving? Are you driving to Milwaukee? Is that why... Is that why you're listening to the show?
I am. Yes.
Why are you driving here?
I got some meetings. I got stuff going on.
Are you coming to AmFam Field at noon today?
No. I'm not. If Jesse Nelson breaks his arm going down Bernie Slide, don't call us. We we know how dangerous that was for a TV guy.
Well, so we were just pulling back the curtain. A bunch of us are going out to go down the slide today. I have already gone down the slide once this year at AmFam Field, Jason. I don't know how the guy broke his arm. I honestly don't. Well, because I was there. So me and Steven did it. Steven Watson did it as part of a partnership we have with X-Golf at AmFam Field. And we were doing this whole thing out there. And Steven was a little nervous because, again, he's a TV guy. And the last TV guy we saw pinned his arm against the wall and broke it. And that's the last thing Steven wanted. And I honestly have no idea how this guy like got the speed that he got to just go flying into the wall.
Okay.
So it's perfectly safe. I don't know if that changes your mind. If you want to come out, join us out there.
No, I have other commitments.
Are you going?
I'm going.
I'm glad to know.
I got to represent the show.
Apparently Chewy's not going.
Yeah, well, of course Chewy's not going.
No.
Of course not.
He'll break the slide instead of the first slide.
All right, Jason, I'm going to talk to you as if Andy Reid talking to me watching film. I'm not going to go. Three turnovers, great. Wonderful. Good job. Andy would blow through that. One sack, 7.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Concerning?
Those sound like the negatives that you could take out of a win if you were the same guy who was taking positives out of a loss.
Correct.
And by the way, who have the Packers beaten? They've beaten an 0-2 team that has given up 1.3 million yards rushing in the first two games.
Yeah.
Like, man, I understand, look, winning with Malik Willis is impressive. Do I think their defense is going to be good this year by season's end, by week 15? I do. But, Jonathan Taylor had 100 carries. And I don't think they were just disinterested in stopping the run, Josh. I think they are still struggling with the run fits that are required. And I think Quay Walker is struggling to find his footing in this new defense that they believe ultimately will be a very good fit for him. But what I saw on Sunday, he didn't look like he was, again, confident in what he needed to be doing against the run. So, and look, I don't know what Anthony Richardson is going to grow up to be as a quarterback in the NFL. From Malik Willis or Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young.
Oh, I think we lost Jason.
Yeah.
In the right situation and the right timing for when you play.
You're still north of Sheboygan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why?
We got a third of that answer.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out on us.
I got full bars. What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you, based on my experience driving to Green Bay, having phone conversations, I can kind of picture where you might be, where the phone conversation might be cutting in and out.
Okay, well, I'll just call Keith and tell him everything thinking about the Packers.
So, Jason, yesterday Rob told us when we had Rob Domofsky on that it was not just a charade, that Jordan Love actually was, you know, that they were actually keeping the door open for him to play, and maybe he was closer than everybody thought. Do we think that Love has a realistic chance of actually playing, or is this just more performative because, well, it seemed to work last week, they got the win, so now they want to make it seem like he could potentially return to keep the Titans occupied with, oh, what's going to happen if Jordan Love plays as well?
No, I think there are, Rob and I actually had a conversation on game day, too, and I think, some of what he told you guys is based on a conversation that he had, which he would not reveal. I would just say this. I think there are probably differing opinions on what Love can and can't do at this point and the level of risk that there would be if he played versus if he does not play and waits another week. Obviously the Packers would love for him to play, and him at 60% or whatever he'd be at would be far better than having a quarterback that he was 12 for 14 for 122 yards. I don't want to sell anything he did short, but obviously they limited the number of times that the game and the ball were in his hands, and he had to do something, right? He basically had three good throws. He had the check down to Tucker Kraft. He had the touchdown to Wicks. And then he had the 50-50 ball to Dobbs. And beyond that, you know, do you think that if the Titans come in hell-bent on stopping the run, which is what I still don't understand why the Colts weren't. I understand it would have meant mismatching personnel and taking some risks with linebackers covering receivers, but it had to be better than what they did in the first half. Do we think that Malik Willis against his former team is capable of slinging the ball 25, 30 times because they're stuffing the run? I would say no. Do we think Jordan Love, maybe a little bit statuesque in the pocket because he can't move as much, is a better option? Sure. But is the medical staff, are they willing to take that risk? I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know if, you know, I do know this. If Jordan Love wanted to play and wanted to push the envelope, is he at a point where the medical staff would allow him to do that as compared to Favre and Rodgers? I'm not sure he is, but until he tries to do that, I don't know what their plan is for where they draw the line of we have to protect him from himself.
Jason, how much? I saw the line is two and is it? Did it stay at 2.5?
2.5.
Titans.
Mm-hmm.
How much would it move if Love does start? A lot? But, I mean, would it go to 5 Packers?
So the Packers are favored by 2.5?
No, the Titans are.
It's actually at 3. So Tennessee is favored by 3 points.
Yeah, I would think maybe it would flip and the Packers would be favored by 3. By the way, did you call them the Titans? And does that mean that they've hired Mike Pettin on their coaching staff?
Why? What is it?
Well it's the East Coast thing.
You're doing that Boston thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Titans.
Jason, we all know that players pout, right?
Sure. So do radio hosts.
True.
Especially
former
radio
players. Yes.
Radio hosts that are former players.
Does LaFleur have to kind of coddle? I mean, Christian Watson, and I understand the circumstances, but still, that doesn't really change. 3 catches, 13 yards, not really involved. Is there a chance you got to deal with poutiness?
I don't think so, only because of what their game plan was.
Okay.
On Sunday, right? Like, and by the way, I thought your point. I mean, it's a good thing that I don't listen to the show from 7 to 7:15. When I'm trying, you know, the girls are getting out the door for school and everything else, because all I would do then is come on at 7:15 and critique what had occurred in the previous 15 minutes. But I thought that thing about players being conditioned by film to only look at the negatives is 1,000,000% true. Yeah, here's a nice catch. Okay, let's get to this block.
Yeah,
test.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, if Christian Watson was 2 games in and had 3 catches for 13 yards with Jordan Love playing and had only, like, 4 targets or whatever, then maybe. But, like, that, the game plan, they all knew the game plan going in. LaFleur said the goal, when he talked to us yesterday, the goal was to run 40-plus times, and they got to 53. I mean, there cannot be many defenses that would give up 164 rushing yards in the first quarter and still not get it fixed before halftime and have to wait until they made halftime adjustments. Like, they should have gone to 5 down linemen and dared the Packers to throw far earlier than they did. So I don't think that's the case with Watson. But, again, these are – I don't know. Like, I don't know there's many times, and obviously during my time covering this team, Favre never missed a start. Rodgers had the 2 collarbones and the 1 concussion, but he didn't miss starts otherwise. Like, I don't have a lot of firsthand experience with backup quarterbacks and the game plans that the Packers went with them. But, like, Brett Hundley, even though he wasn't good enough in 17, he'd been with the team. He was in his third season in Green Bay. They didn't have to pare down the playbook or run the ball constantly. He didn't execute when they ran their regular offense well enough, but I've never seen anything like that. Domofsky had a great stat about how they had intended runs on like 88% of their plays, and the only game in the last 10 years where a team ran the ball intentionally, like not scrambles more often, was when the Patriots ran it like 94% of the time in that game in Buffalo. Like,
oh yeah, when it was just super windy. Yeah, when punts were going backwards.
So I just don't think that there's a lot that you could take from that in offensively, really, other than they came up with the perfect game plan to win a game with a guy who should just become a starter now after sitting for 2 years in Tennessee. That was the plan for the Titans and John Robinson, and instead the guy's on his fourth offense and his second team in just over 2+ years.
So if I'm picking up what you're putting down, Jason, you kind of agree with us that this game plan is not going to work against the Titans. At least it should not work against the Titans, because the Titans are going to dare the Packers to pass sooner. So
yeah, I mean, like, that was essentially what I asked LaFleur yesterday. Like, you know, the 24-hour rule, and he was up at the podium almost exactly 24 hours after Sunday's game had ended. And I wasn't being a jerk about it, but I was like, hey, awesome game plan, really good. You guys were great. Now what? Like, it's over. The 24-hour rule, I brought up the 24-hour rule. That has expired. So I was among the many that were singing his and Steno's praises. But now what? Because now the Tennessee Titans have seen the film, and that you know that their defensive staff is sitting there going, there ain't no way in hell we're letting these jokers do this to us.
Yeah.
No way. We're going to dare. And plus, they know Malik Willis better than any other coaching staff.
They know what he cannot do.
So, again, Rob's theory or opinion, or I don't want to call it reporting, because I don't know how much he wants out there. But the bottom line is if Jordan Love is willing and able to go even at a diminished capacity, I would think that they would go. One other thing quickly, though, as I'm now south of Sheboygan, I can talk all I want.
Beautiful.
Is that LaFleur yesterday, you know, he did this whole thing where he told us he intentionally did not talk to Flea before talking to us, which I was kind of like, isn't that like malpractice? Shouldn't you be talking to the medical staff? You shouldn't be avoiding them until after your press conference. But he didn't want to get into any Love discussion until Wednesday. And I asked him, all right, regardless of where he's at, is your plan for the week the same as last week? And he did say that because this would be a second week, that he would want Love to practice if he's going to play, which is a change from last week where he very clearly had said that he didn't have to practice in order to play. So there will be a tell potentially if he doesn't practice tomorrow, doesn't practice Thursday, but somehow he practices on Friday. That would be a door opener for the possibility of him playing.
Jason, do you think they're just going to leave him in the bullpen until they need him and hopefully not need him?
I don't know. And I also don't know, like, LaFleur, I'm not saying he's playing head games with me personally, but, like, I don't know how he feels about Sean Clifford either. Like, you know, he's riding high now on Malik Willis, right? Like, you know, he executed their game plan absolutely perfectly. But I wondered, you know, if Malik Willis had faltered, would he have gone to Clifford or not? And I thought maybe he would have, but then, you know, I was talking to somebody that kind of indicated that maybe that he probably wouldn't have. And so if Malik Willis struggles in Tennessee, are you keeping Love like as the third quarterback, or what are you doing there? Like, I would think that if he's out, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he's on emergency alert. That would be my gut feeling.
Jason, appreciate it, bud. And I guess we'll be seeing you in a little bit here before Wildy and Tausch.
You will, but I'll sit in the parking garage and call you guys in commercials so you can only hear about half the conversation from me.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to give us the latest on the Green Bay Packers. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, Custom Solutions, built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like,
yeah. No, white. These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Late in the show yesterday, but we did break a little bit of news. I guess.
What was that?
Well, this was everywhere yesterday on the internet. This just kept getting aggregated by all the aggregate. I did not see everybody's favorite Dove Kleiman aggregate this, but it was on a couple of those different aggregation accounts when Rob Domofsky said this on our show yesterday.
From what I was told, Jordan Love was very close to playing and that was not a charade.
So that was everywhere, Chu. You tell me, quarterback on an MCL sprain who is going to reportedly be wearing a knee brace whenever he comes back for structural support and, you know, just the overall comfort of everyone. Do you think it's realistic he plays this week?
I don't know, because there's so much fake news out there. You just don't know what happens behind closed doors, whether LaFleur goes, hey, offensive quality control guy, go tell Rob Domofsky that Jordan Love was really, really close. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know. I don't know. An MCL, unless he was giving us a little Christian Watson, well, because he seemed to be in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
An MCL with 1 week is a pretty mild MCL. Because the I think the problem is, I mean, they developed the knee brace to protect the MCL. The problem is when you overcompensate protecting the MCL, my guess is it puts other parts of the knee at risk.
Okay.
So there is a chance.
So do you think there's a chance he plays this week against the Titans? What do you think is that realistic percent chance? Because
what I would do, Gabe, if he is close, I would put him in the bullpen. Right?
But if he's good enough to play in case of emergency, isn't he good enough to play and then you just want to play him anyway? Like if you're Matt LaFleur and it's obvious that they weren't able to run their full complement, their full offense, despite what he said yesterday, mm-hmm. them opening up the playbook. They couldn't run the offense the way they typically run the offense with Malik Willis. And if you have the opportunity to run your offense, and the keys are right there, like, oh, I got this great car, keys are right there, aren't you just tempted to put him in the game?
Well, a practice will dictate that. If he practices on Friday,
then he's playing.
My guess is he'll play.
If he practices, yes. If he practices Friday,
I think he plays. If he doesn't practice at all?
Now, that was the thing. LaFleur said he'd like for him to practice, didn't make it a complete prerequisite.
Yeah.
But it kind of seems like if he doesn't practice, he's not going to play.
What I can't really figure out is why he would be active and not playing. Because what do you go down three scores and you're going to throw Jordan Love in there where the defense pins their ears back and like are just taking shots at him? Like, that's not a good spot if he's limited in any capacity.
Hey, Jordan, I know your knee wasn't good enough to start.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know if I'd do that. And, especially against, I mean, if it was, all right, if it's week 15, and you're scratching and clawing, and you're playing Tennessee, and you got to play what? Then it's like, all right. But in week three against Tennessee, I would have no problem leaving him in the bullpen.
I guess what this does for me, because there's all these different reports out there, right? Like, everybody has their own sources. Everybody has all these different reports. And the one thing that seems to be a constant, at least, is that Minnesota game. At least last week, that was the thing. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a realistic possibility. And in my mind, I went, okay, you go 1-1 in this stretch. You go into that game at 1-2, you're fine. Now, they won the game I thought that they would lose in the two-game stretch.
Yeah.
So, again, you're 1-2, you're fine. It doesn't seem like it's worth the risk to me.
Yes.
Unless the doctors say, yeah, he's good to go. There's nothing more waiting any longer can do.
Do you think he's actually tested the knee already? I don't think he has.
Okay.
Because when you test it early on, it's going to be sore.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sore. You're aggravating that area. That's only not even 2 weeks removed, right? So that's the real test.
2 weeks on Friday.
2 weeks on Friday. That's the real test is, okay, let's go out, see what you can do, go 80%. How does it feel? You wake up the next morning, it's like, you know? That's the test. It's not sitting there and like, you've been on the bike? How's the bike feel? You know? The bike is a really good...
How's the knee been reacting to the
bike?
To the pool when you've been in there with no stress on the knee.
So my guess, if he practices this week and the pain is minimal, yeah, there's a chance. I don't mind leaving him in the bullpen, though. Break glass.
If you got the result that they were looking for, like at this point, why not just give him the extra week? You got your win.
Yeah.
The one thing you knew you needed to do in these next two games, you got. So at this point, what benefit would it be? Because, like, maybe it wasn't a charade that they were trying to get him to play, but maybe that was just desperation because they thought, how the hell are we going to not be 0-3 by the time Jordan comes back? So you got the win at this point. Like, unless he's 100%, we have no issues, he's not even pain management, then sure, you can play him. But, I mean, we saw that knee do that weird little slide to the left and pop.
I can't imagine it being 100%.
Right.
You know.
So at this point, then, it's just go out there and see what you can do against the Titans.
At what percent would you be comfortable, Chew?
95.
Okay.
95. The brace I don't like.
Well, the brace is happening no matter what. Brace is happening. The brace is probably happening for the rest of the season.
I don't know about that. I mean, when I tore my PCL, I wore a brace probably for 2-3 weeks, and then you graduate up to tape, and then you graduate to nothing.
I mean this
with, I was gonna say the same thing.
With all the respect in the world. You know how much I love you and I champion you and your career.
You're saying I'm not a quarterback? You can kiss my...
they didn't give you $100 million guaranteed.
So you're not playing them until 100%.
I don't think... if you say 95, then I'm cool with 95. Because I don't know. I've never had that injury.
Yeah.
Like, you know guys. So whatever you would be comfortable with, I was going to ride with whatever that number is.
Yes.
The Tennessee Titans pose a different issue from the Indianapolis Colts insofar as they've got some pass rushers up front. Some big, nasty guys.
Well, that's the one thing. Their defense has played.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty good.
Those are guys I would be more concerned of than I would have at all with the Colts, like getting after you and making you move off your spot, especially with those guys coming up the middle.
Yeah. Well, Will Levis has been terrible.
Yes.
The defense has
they've held their end.
Yeah. Yes. And they know what he cannot do. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to play, man. I can tell you this. They ain't rushing for 261.
Yeah. I feel very confident that the Packers are not going to repeat that.
But the thing with injuries, Gabe, is you have to get over the mental, whatever it is, hamstring, plantar fascia, knee, shoulder, you have to get over the mental part of it where you're not thinking about it anymore. Because with every injury, when you first go out there, it's like,
So what is that for him? Because I know when we talked about the knee injury, and granted that was an ACL coming off of, for Elgton Jenkins.
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about... there's a lot of traffic, especially on the interior offensive line. You get rolled up on that first time, like, oh, okay, now I'm fine.
Yeah.
For him, is that just kind of the...
it's not so much that, it's the plant.
Okay.
It's like, all right, I'm scrambling. Okay, I got to put it in the ground. How is it going to feel? Is it going to feel stable? And then that probably won't even go away in the game. Because when I had my knee stuff, it's just like, goes away the next game, you know?
Okay.
So... I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But if he starts doing stuff tomorrow,
then he's going to play.
Oh, he's 100%. Yeah. Like, if he is, even if he's just limited in practice tomorrow, yeah, mm-hmm. to me, he's 100% playing in the game on Sunday. Has Chewy been right all along? We dive into that coming up next. But it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mentality, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. They helped me. Look, I was kind of tired, groggy. I just thought, okay, I'm getting older, waking up earlier. That's all part of the aging process. But it doesn't have to be that way. With Mentality, I am now on a customized testosterone treatment plan because my levels were low to boost them to where they should be. Now I have the energy to do all the things that I have to do today when I've got to go on greeny, when I have to do on the tee. Got to do all those things, and I've got the energy to do them. Thank you to Mentality. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. You can learn more at lowtusa.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean,
average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN.
Rolling along on a huge day, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every Tuesday celebrate Huey Lewis and the news. Jen not here, flying to Oklahoma for her game day story this week, but she still passed this along, and I didn't know if you guys were going to talk about this yesterday, but you mentioned it right away, Chu, so I figured we'd talk about it. An article from the New York Post, which is remaking its rounds, because apparently it was initially published back in April. Daily showers are purely, quote, performative and have no real health benefit, experts insist.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
And you called me crazy. Do you have that drop, Joshy? Or no, is it just cycled?
Which one?
That's when you bump it back before, and I said showering is overrated, and you really don't. Gabe's like, you're crazy. You got to shower 9 times a day to get the stink off.
I do have it here. Do you want to listen to it? Give me a second here.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point,
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On Nutty.
So I stand by that. 100% stand by that.
All right. Well, what does
it
say?
Because in this article, it doesn't say that, you know, again, the health, the benefit it does give you is, you know, smelling better. Uh-huh. But there's no health benefit to smelling better,
yes.
Right? There's no health benefit to smelling better. But showering still will make you smell better. And if you listen to that whole clip, you were telling me, and at that point, Ashton was the producer, that when you shower, you don't think you smell better.
So will cologne, so will deodorant. You can put deodorant on without showering. You can put cologne
after gym class?
On without showering. You know?
You're just pouring a bottle of Axe on you? What are you doing?
Like this weekend, I took Polish showers. I took Polish showers and they were completely fine.
I think that's offensive, but you're Polish, so I guess we have to let it go.
Yeah.
Well, but I got to ask the follow-up.
Do you know what a Polish shower is?
Gabe, you don't want to know.
That's what my mother used to call it.
I don't.
Jump in the pool. Am I right?
I guess you have to be. I've never heard this term.
Would you consider that?
I've never had a pool.
Would you consider it a cleansing?
I mean, when you jump in, if it's a hot day and you jump in a pool or a lake, yes, it's very refreshing. I would say it's very refreshing.
Can it take the place of a shower?
No.
Depends. No.
See, you guys are.
I think
you're
can,
too bougie.
I think
that's
you can
problem.
Get the sweat off of you that might be accumulating and causing. The thing is, there's some clever language going on there because they said daily showers. What they're telling you is you don't have to shower every single day. But we also forget that humanity changed for the better when we improved our hygiene and started washing. So, like, there is a happy medium here because, like, I have eczema, so I can't use, like, a loofah all over my skin every day because the good bacteria helps you. So what they're saying is, like, yeah, it's probably a little performative to shower every single day, but, like, who wants to go to work with a guy who smells like butt?
Joshy, bad bacteria helps you, too. Because I grew up on the farm, and when we eat lunch, you don't wash your hands.
No, that's a different conversation.
No, I know, but it's along the same lines of like...
For us to function as a society, I need people showering every day. To some extent.
Ah.
Like, I don't want to be... Back here, it's pretty tight. There'll be multiple people. If somebody just smelled like BO, I would have a bad day.
Yeah, like if you had to sit next to somebody that has BO for a four-hour flight, it's not good. Like,
I told you the story of...
Do you shower?
Hold on. Did I tell you the story of when I was in New York City for the blackout? Do you guys remember the blackout where the whole East Coast... So I was on the 33rd floor of the Helmsley, had to walk down, was there on a Friday, power's all out, slept in the lobby, same clothes, got a late flight out of there on Saturday by happen. So there's no x-ray machines or anything like that. They all had to hand wand you. So I'm behind this guy, dreads, you know, looked like a surfer dude. Dreads, kind of raggedy, and he reeked. I mean, reeked. And I had to wait in line for about an hour and a half to get through the wanding. So it just happened. Get through the wanding, jump on the plane. He's on the same plane. So he gets on like 30 people behind me, and I'm like, dude, please don't sit next to me. Please don't sit next to me. So he didn't. He went behind me in the back of the plane, and I still smelled him. It wasn't him. It was me. I reeked so bad, but I thought BO was like breath where you can't smell your own.
Those are two things I don't believe to be true. I've smelt my own breath, especially like an onion breath.
Really?
Like, whoof, I need some gum here.
I felt so bad.
So... You've got an international flight coming up soon.
Yes.
You and your wife are going to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take a shower before you jump on that international flight?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you a post-flight shower person?
No.
Whenever I land, especially if I have to like be on a plane for a while, I feel like I need to shower right away. It's just being in an airplane, airport, you're sitting in that seat for extra long. I feel like I need to clear it away.
Yeah, I mean, for...
Even if it's just like a quick...
Just a little rinse off. Yeah.
Even if it's just a Polish.
Yeah, I think it's 10 and a half to Istanbul.
Oof.
And then...
That's a long flight.
Yeah, that's
you're
a
long... You're going to be doing Russell Wilson squats in the aisle and rehabbing and making sure you're...
Doing high knees up and down the plane.
With my eye black on. I'm ready to fly. Let's go.
Don't know if they'll let you fly with shoulder pads, but the eye black will be okay.
Yeah.
Josh is an instigator.
Yes.
Poking the bear, quite literally, in 2 minutes on Jen Gabby Chewing.